We're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and this is something I've really been thinking about a lot the past few weeks, is how we address God in our prayers and things that are appropriate to say and things that aren't appropriate to say. But as we look at that prayer, just verse 9, where it says, "Therefore pray in this manner, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." I've really looked a lot about the hallowed be your name and how important that is in our prayers. The idea of hallowed, of course, is to sanctify, set apart, set above, glorify. So if we're going to pray in this manner, then we need to pray something about God being glorified, glorified in this world, glorified by how we live. It certainly then would be appropriate to say something like, may your name be glorified by how I live. Because His name is either going to be glorified by how we live or degraded by how we live, in that sense. So I think that would be something to really think about when we pray as well. Hallowed be your name. God's name, you know, when we look at words, especially in the Old Testament, which is primarily Hebrew, Hebrew names always meant something. Even today, if you talk to someone Jewish, their names mean something. There's something behind their name. Well, when you look at the various names of God in the Old Testament, there's something behind the names, but in this case, it's God calling Himself certain things, because God is the one who wrote the Old Testament, and God is the one that includes these names. So these are not names man gave God. These are names God gave God, which when we say hallowed be your name, it would be appropriate to think about the various names of God, what those names mean, how those names magnify Him, exalt Him, esteem Him. So all of those things, and we're going to look at some, just a few of them. There's lots and lots of different names of God in the Old Testament, but we'll look at a few of them. And those would be very appropriate to include in a prayer. When we talk about glorifying God's name and esteeming God's name, praising God's name, thinking about or even mentioning in our prayer some of these different descriptions of who God is, because we're addressing God. And Jesus says the proper manner to pray is to first, before you ask for anything, before you pray for anybody else or anything, is to properly address God, because He is the greatest authority. He's the true Lord, the true God. So when we address Him in prayer, we are addressing truly the one God. And so it's not to be flippant, or we can't be irreverent or palsy or anything else. We need to show Him very deep respect and reverence when we begin our prayers. So even though, you know, it's Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, we don't want to just go over that quickly without thinking about all that means, because it's so important that we do that. So here's some places to read. Would someone read Psalms 111, verse 9 to get us started? Things about His name. Psalms 111, verse 9. Okay. Holy and reverend is His name. Anybody have another translation?
Holy and awesome.
Holy and awesome is His name. Anything else?
Holy
And when we talk about awesome, it's certainly not the awesome that we talk about in our common language. This is a word of high regard. So when we're addressing God, we're addressing Him as someone who's holy and of high regard. Someone of great respect. All right, in Psalm 96, verses 8 and 9. And of course, this whole study is just about helping us in our praying. Psalms 96, verses 8 and 9, if someone will read that. Tremble before Him. So again, that shows that when we pray, we're not to be flippant and irreverent. This is the idea of showing great reverence to who He is. Tremble, it says, before Him. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Give Him the glory that's due His name. So when we pray, it would certainly be appropriate to say something about His name being glorified in the world. In other words, more and more people coming to know that He exists and by that glorifying His name. Be very appropriate thing to pray for. How about Isaiah 42, verse 8? These all have the idea, again, of just the name of God, not necessarily specific names, but Isaiah 42, verse 8.
I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images.
I will not give my glory to another. I am the Lord, that is my name. The sovereign, the ruler, the one of authority. As I mentioned, these Hebrew names all had their significance behind them. Jacob was the supplanter. Eve, the mother of all living. And there's a number of others, even in the New Testament, of course. Saul was changed to Paul for a specific reason. Simon's name to Peter. Peter meaning a stone. So these all had specific reasons behind the names of God. And so these names that we're going to look at in the Old Testament here in a minute, these all reflect ideas and descriptions and characteristics about God, various aspects of who God is, what He's done, what He can do, His power, things like that. And again, these are names that God gave Himself. Names God gave Himself. All right, let's go to Genesis. Go all the way back to the beginning here, and we'll just do a few of these. Genesis 14. And let's see. Genesis 14. Looks like 19. Would someone read Genesis 14, 19, please?
And He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth."
Go ahead and read verse 20 with it, if you don't mind.
"Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand."
Okay, twice God is called the God Most High. Some translations have the Most High God. If we were to translate it literally, which doesn't sound, it's not easy to say, it's the strongest strong one. So addressing God as God Most High is a very appropriate way of addressing him. God Most High, the one who's the supreme sovereign, the one who is has the great strength, the great power. So these are all ways of addressing God that are biblical ways of addressing him. The God Most High, the strongest of all the strong. All right, let's go to the next book, Exodus. And like I said, there's so many of these in the Old Testament, different names of God. Exodus 15. It looks like verse 26. Exodus 15, verse 26. Okay, I am the Lord who heals you. That's one expression, the Lord who heals you in Hebrew. And that's a name that God has given himself, Jehovah Rapha. The God who heals you, or actually the Lord who heals. The word also means restores. So there's an appropriate name that God gave himself. He's the one who heals. He's the one who restores. He's the one that cures. All of those refer to God, a name that he gave himself to describe who he is. One of the most common ones goes all the way back to the first chapter of Genesis. And I know you've heard me mention this and other people before. This is a term in Genesis chapter 1 that lots of times. First of all, would someone read verse 1, and then we'll go down to verses 26 and 27. So, for okay, and then let's go down to verse 26 and 27. All right, there's a very important address and aspect of God here. It's Elohim. That's the word that's translated God there. And it's a plural term. When you see the I am on a Hebrew term, that means it's plural. And Balaam, that's a plural. If like there's an A-I-M, that's several Baals. If there's a number of something, plural, it's an I-M at the end of it. And so notice in verse 26 that he said, then God said, let us, plural, make man in our image, plural. So there's already the idea in Genesis chapter 1 of the Trinity, of the three personalities in God, in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all included in the word Elohim. And again, that term is used throughout the Old Testament in describing God. Another very common one is, let's see, Exodus 19. This is one you hear quite a bit. So, and all of these are appropriate terms for who God is. 19, beginning in verse 18, it says, let's see. All right, Exodus 19, 18. Oh, that was 18. Exodus 19, 18. Now, Mount Sinai was completely covered in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire, and the smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain shook violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with a voice. The God there is Jehovah or Lord, it's quite often translated. Exodus 20 uses the same term for God, Jehovah. Jehovah is not actually an Old Testament word. Jehovah is a word that was made kind of to fit our English, so to speak, because there were no vowels originally written in Hebrew. The Old Testament was originally written without any vowels whatsoever, just consonants. So over time, so there were basically four consonants from the name of God. YHWH. And so over time, then, so that there would be a name to pronounce it by, vowels were added, basically E, O, and A. So we ended up with the idea of like Jehovah, which is what we get Jehovah from. Even though now people think it's probably more properly pronounced something closer to Yahweh. And you've probably heard that on TV before. But that all comes from this term that we sometimes translate Jehovah or Lord, or some English, I think, translations actually call it Yahweh. But that is, again, one of the names that God gives Himself. He gives Himself that name of Jehovah or Yahweh. I am the Lord. Notice beginning of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. He says, I am the Lord your God. That's the Jehovah, that's the Yahweh term that God calls Himself in this particular instance. So all of these names are names that describe some aspect of God. His power, His healing, His Trinity, divine nature. You remember in one place He calls Himself the I Am, which stresses His eternality, the fact that He's eternal. So these are appropriate ways of addressing God. So when we talk about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, we don't just want to think about one aspect of God when we pray. All of these different aspects of God can be addressed in our prayer. You know, the fact that He is Lord, He's the Sovereign, He's the Creator, He's the Great I Am, He's the truly Eternal One, He's the One who restores and heals. All of these terms are appropriate ways to address God, because they talk about His characteristics, and these are all terms He called Himself, along with many others in the Old Testament. And there is a bunch of terms in the Old Testament that God uses to describe Himself. So when we address God, we certainly don't have to just address Him as God. There's lots of different expressions the Bible has. Again, and we can talk about, you can talk about those in your prayers as you know, the Creator and the One who restores and the One who rules, the Sovereign God, the Eternal One. Those are all things we can include in our prayers. And it's something that I think would benefit all of us. Yes, Dean?
Well, I was just... I'm writing my study Bible. We also use...
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good.
And what you said,
Elohim. Elohim, yeah.
Elyon.
Yeah, Elyon. That's the one that's the Lord restores.
Highest.
Oh, okay. The one that is the highest. Okay. There's another one. There's just so many of these names that the Bible refers to God as. Just throughout, and especially the Hebrew ones, because they all, you know, have various meanings behind them, like those that we've talked about and others. And like I said, there's so many of them. But the things that, you know, this is how Jesus says we need to start prayers, is by addressing God appropriately. You know, not as a Santa Claus or not as our best friend, because that's not what He is. We need to be very, very reverent, like holy and awesome is His name, holy and reverent is His name. That's how we need to think about God when we pray. Not like a magic genie or a Santa Claus or a grandfather, but as the sovereign ruler, as the Creator, as the one who will judge us. That's how we need to think about Him when we pray. So I've been thinking about that a lot the past several weeks, because I think it's such an important point. I know we, and no one's been more guilty than me of kind of rushing through the address to talk about things that I need or someone else needs. But there's something that we really need to address first before we get into those things. Just like Jesus gives us the example before we start talking about forgiveness or asking for our daily bread or not leading us in temptation. There's something that needs to come before that. That's very, very serious. So anybody have any thoughts? Anything else? Lord willing, we might get into the next verse next week, possibly. But this is, you know, it's only that long in my Bible, you know, but oh, is it ever rich? So much there. Well, Dean has picked out an invitation song for us, and it's certainly one that we need to think about the Word so much. Our relationship to God, and is it what it should be, and do I need to make amends, and So it is an opportune time for us to respond if we need to. So if you have any needs, then we want you to come as we stand and sing.